Now the car show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
And a good Saturday morning to you one and all. This is your Saturday morning car show with me, Lisa Christensen, here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800 AM. I'm a licensed automotive technician, master certified ASE, fixing up your car like we do every week here on the CJD Car Show. So get in line at 514-790-0800. 514-790-0800 puts you in the driver's seat this morning here on the CJD Car Show. Well, in case you hadn't noticed, it's spring. And the only reason why I'm saying that is because the birds have returned to the east end of Montreal. That's how I know it's spring. I know that there's, you know, crummy weather that's coming up in the next 24 to 48 hours. I get that. But once we pass St. Patrick's Day, and once we get the Canada geese flying into the east end of Montreal, because, you know, if you've been paying attention, the birds, people are going to say, what is she talking about? The birds, they fly really, really high and they head over to Repentigny. They head over to St. Eustache. They head over to the North Shore. They're looking for the cornfields, and then they're slowly coming back in. They get really, 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 really high up, but then they start coming down lower. And then they start going around the Rivière des Prairies area, and they start heading out to the golf courses and things like that. And that tells us if the birds are back, then the weather's getting better, which means we can start focusing on, I get excited in spring. I mean, this morning I was talking to my husband. I said, you know, we got to start yanking out all of our summer wheels. And, you know, the poor man had just crawled out of bed and he had a cup of coffee and he's looking at me like, oh, you know, and I'm like, I'm buzzing. I'm excited. This week, while I was downtown and I was working in the parking garage where I park, there's a fella that does car washes and cleanings and that. I was so excited. I overprayed. Just so excited. Took everything out of the car. And had him do a complete cleaning of the inside. I felt so good getting into the car. The inside was clean. The floor mats were clean. All the newspapers were taken out. Everything was vacuumed out. Everything. I don't do Armor All really that much, you know. I prefer just take a damp chamois. Cleaned everything up. And I said, wow, I feel good. I feel good. The car looks good. I mean, it's an old car. I don't drive new cars. But I felt good. I felt like spring is coming. Spring is coming. And, you know, yanking out the wheels. I know that I am going to need summer tires for the Prius this year. And next year I will need summer tires for the Suzuki because I bought a lot of winter tires for the vehicles. Everything's turning over. And it's that time where, you know, we're going to start looking at our cars a little bit closer. You know, my car was filthy on the outside, the Prius, because I did not wash it during the winter. Just opportunity wise, it was going to be cold that night, and then my car parks outside. Didn't want to freeze everything up. So I had a lot of rain this week, right? My car got cleaned a bit. Now it's time to clean it up. And I always say, you know, as spring cut starts rolling in, get out your winter tires, or maybe you've already received a call from your garage and you found that they're calling you in because your tires are in storage there. And you want to, you know, come on, get your appointment ready and let's get your summer tires on, get your winter tires off. And you can, you know, start looking at that as well. But it's oil change time. It's tire switchover time. It's cabin air filters. Cabin air filters too, because again, I was talking with Jimmy G, Mr. The Marvelous, Fabulous, Mr. Jimmy G in Master Control. He likes to be called that. About cabin air filters, we're talking about quality of air, we're talking about air flow, you know, the heat in the winter, the amount of volume you got coming in, the air conditioning in summer, the amount of air coming in, it goes through the cabin air filters. So, you know, you go through a winter and you get a lot of dust and debris and things get into these cabin air filters and plug them up. So, you know, it's all about let's getting these little things done. And when you do, you know, because the winter tires are mandatory from December 1st to the March 15th. And people seem to think that on March 15th, the day, they have to get their, you know, summer tires on. And you don't. You know, obviously, we do have to look at climate change. We do have to look at what the temperatures are like. I haven't put my summer tires on yet because it wasn't just the temperature just left me. And I was waiting for the Canada geese to come back. So most likely, I will put my summer tires on. My summer car between today and next weekend because I feel it's time. And I know that we're getting some crummy weather, but I feel it's time. And time to get the winter tires off, time to put the summer tires on. If you're in the position where you put away really crummy tires last winter and you're shopping, well, I was speaking with Talon Tire, with Jay, and we'll have him on in the next week or so to talk about summer tire purchases, new technology tires. I mean, I have questions. I mean, I am a generalist when it comes to cars. I don't specialize in transmission or specialize in engine or specialize in brake. I do a general. I'm a general mechanic. My only specialty was in diagnostics, fuel injection and electrical. That was my passion. So we'll have him come on and talk about the new tires of the season, what you should be looking for, some of the things that you may not know, tires that are less, you know, interesting because of the origin of them or versus the type of driving you do. So these are all be addressed in the next week to 2 weeks here on the CJD Car Show. But, you know, it's a good day. I know it looks a little chilly, but it's going to go up to 3 degrees today. Get out there, start cleaning up your car. We got to get the salt. Now is the time we have to start worrying about the salt. Why now? Well, because if you take out all the newspaper you may have had in your car and you clean over your mats, you'll have calcium that's getting in there. But with all the rain that's going to go in the next couple of weeks, you're going to activate that salt and make it get worse. So start looking at getting the salt taken care of in your car. You may have to do two or three times over the spring season, and you can definitely get the salt out of the carpet without destroying the carpet and without destroying what's around the salt. That's important as well. So think about little things like that. I mean, if we do our preventative maintenance, our own checklist, not your garage checklist, your checklist. What do you need to get done in your car? Clean out the coffee stains, go through the trunk, go through the back hatch, go through the things, go through that, look under the seats. If you start making your list when you look at your car and you tackle one or two of those things on a Saturday, one or two of those things on a Sunday, within 2 weeks, you've got everything basically done. And your cars, you'll feel good. You'll feel good about a fresh smelling car. You'll feel good about a clean car. If you're, you know, trading cars, you're selling your car will look better for sale. I mean, it's just an all around, it's spring. Let's get rid of winter. Winter was so confusing in the last 2 months. Up temperatures, low temperatures, temperatures in between, snow, storms, freezing rain. I mean, it was so confusing. I'm just so done with winter. I hope you're done with winter. I know my car is done with winter. Yours is probably done with winter too. So we need to just move on from that. Let's move on and get the cars fixed up. Let's take care of the small problems that become big problems. Let's take a look at brake systems that may be squeaking for the last month or two. Maybe you haven't had a chance to get in, but when you get in for your tire change, a good, thorough four-wheel brake inspection is an absolute must. The tires are off. Let's have that visual done. Let's have that visual done with the exhaust system on the car. Did you run out? There's so many cars. Just take a look. You're driving along. Have a look at the cars around you. How many of them have stuff hanging down? And you're like, how is it they haven't snagged something yet? Because there's so much stuff that's hanging down. Get all those things picked up. Get your aerodynamics back. Make sure you don't have an exhaust system that's tilted down that could be causing exhaust to get inside your car or could actually cause a more expensive repair later. These things got to be taken care of. That's how you save money, by taking care of the little things that you can take care of yourself so that you avoid a bigger issue later. You pay attention to your maintenance. You don't have to be a mechanic. You understand what repairs have to be done, and you maximize when you get them done so that you save money. I'm all about saving bucks on car repairs.
This is The Car Show on CJAD 800.
1020 CJAD time. Let's go back to the phone lines here at 514-790-0800. Let's talk about your car. But first, I think we need to make a pit stop to speak to a very, very well-known Montrealer, a very big friend to the CJD Car Show, Mr. Barry Dan, the rust-proofing man.
Good morning. You know what happened to me the other day? A friend of mine called me and told me from La Salle she heard I'd passed away. I said,
what?
Yes, oh, my God. I said, I've passed away, but I'm not dead.
Please share us, Barry, because you and I have been friends since I've been doing this show. You've been in the rust proofing business for much longer than that. You've been recommended by the Automobile Protection Association for at least 45 years that I'm aware of. And how young are you now, Mr. Barry Dan?
Oh, I'm 92 and drifting along.
Absolutely. Exactly. What? So you, please, my goodness, that Barry is alive and well. Rock is alive and well. The Rust Proofing Man and the Rust Proofing Barry Dan Rust Proofing is alive and well.
So what I do, I call to express my appreciation to you for you and Mercer's Tire and CJD for this the support over all these years, man. I won't be ungrateful, and I will never forget.
Oh.
And what you're saying about the cars there, Lisa, it bothers me when I see some of the cars on the street with these rusty rims. I had to help one guy the other day with a little transmission oil. He couldn't get the rim off. And the people don't know that they could go to their garage, ask the garage to spray a little transmission oil on those rims.
Yeah.
Because lots of people are going to have lots of problems taking off their tires, especially if they do it themselves.
Yeah, and you know, people really need to understand rust. You know, we have calcium chloride. We use salt on the roads. Barry, my 2012 Toyota Prius, which I adore, has rust around the wheel wells. A little bit of rust here and there because the vehicles are still rusting. Until they're made out of stainless steel, you know, they're going to rust, right?
Exactly. And they're not going to make them out of stainless steel because it will hurt the economy of the makers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all right. Now, can I ask you, I mean, I know that, you know, you're trucking along there, Barry, but let me ask you, a lot of questions come up about the electric cars themselves. People are thinking that it's no longer the gas engine, that it's not the same materials. What are you guys still seeing as far as rust? And are you starting to, do you have customers getting their electric cars rust-proofed?
Yeah, we have done quite a few, what do you call them, the first electric car. We have
the Honda Insight.
No, the first one that came out with the Tesla.
Oh, the Teslas.
If you look underneath these cars, despite people are being deceived by thinking electric cars won't rust, the frame underneath is just as deadly and open for rusting, and the people should check that. And they have lots of plugs that you have to take those plugs out and shoot the grease and oil, the grease in transmission oil and grease.
Maybe, Barry, just to clarify a few things before we take some other calls here. A lot of cars have these plugs, rubber plugs, plastic plugs to fill in holes that they use either with transferring a car or in fabricating a car. What is such a problem with having these plugs on a car?
Oh, dangerous and deadly. I've done lots of Toyotas and Hyundai. We have to take the plugs out. And if you see that rusty water draining out, so I always tell Rock and myself, remove all those plugs that are not necessary.
Now, if they're not necessary, why are they there?
I don't know. You know, one car that I've always praised, GM, Chrysler and Ford, they put no plugs in the frame. It's wide open.
Interesting.
So you have better drainage, but the Toyotas and all those Hyundai products, Honda don't use much plugs either.
Uh-huh.
But the rest of them, and it's deadly for the cars.
And some of the plugs you used to, because I remember, used to put a little cut in them, a little tiny wedge, plugs back.
Your memory is alive. That's right. I cut a little V incision in the plugs, rub some grease around them and put them back. And the rust will never attack the edge because rust attacks edges. It won't attack the flat surface. But edges and seams, that's where rust begins to eat, to have its dinner.
I see. So we're still rust-proofing cars. We're still rust-proofing electric cars. And we're still having issues with water getting trapped into these areas that are being plugged.
Yes. And finally, those cars with all these big moldings on the side, if the people would understand, take a can with a little transmission oil, squeeze it along, and it will creep down and prevent the salt from having a meal behind there.
What about the door moldings? Because that's always been a big issue. People are always saying that their doors are freezing up because, you know, they're so streamlined, the doors. They're so smooth to the body of the car. You have that big rubber seal around it. Yes. And we still get a lot of people called, the door's yes. frozen, the door's frozen.
Well, all they have to do, take a rug with some antifreeze in winter and wipe on those rubber seals and it will never stick.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Look, in my time there, I did it, and I just love it. And when I see the cars rusting away, like at the seams behind the back wheels there, they could take a little grease and pass through, mm-hmm. but they don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, Barry, I just want to tell you, as soon as we start talking Barry Dan on the radio, people start texting. And I just want to let you know that someone on the text line says, I went to Barry's the day after I got my Chevrolet Bolt. Take no chances. Cars cost too much money. That's from Michael out in Pierrefonds. So we have the people backing up the premise. Like, you still need to rust-proof your cars. We're not at a stage yet where you don't ever have to rust-proof a car. And it's also not all rust-proofing is considered the same. There are a lot now that are more environmentally friendly.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
the whole idea for me has always been, since day one, is that if you spray something on the car, it should be able to flex. It should be able to move. Because if it just sticks in one place, mm-hmm. it's not yeah. going to get into those little cracks and crevices, right?
Exactly. Right now I'm talking to you, and I'm in the parking lot. I see one Toyota sweating at the doors and another GM car sweating at the doors. The people are wise to shoot them with grease and oil.
But it's the spring. Why am I rust-proofing after the winter?
Well, good question. Now what you call dry rusting is more deadly in summer than in winter.
Oh.
Especially if the cars were parked in a garage.
Oh, that's true, because of the moisture in the garage.
And lots of transmission oil is also good because it penetrates well and it doesn't affect rubber.
Yeah, you see, people don't know that. Well, Barry. Barry, you, as always, you know, you are a jewel to this show, and appreciate you very much. And I think a lot of CJD listeners over the years have brought their cars to you in Rock. You know, I have a lot of great memories of passing by and having your customers saying, come and look at my car. It's 10 years old, and come and look at my car. And I'm like bamboozled by people dragging me from one car to the other to look at the jobs and how the cars look. And, you know, just people in general that I've sent to you, I've said, I want to hear back from you. What was your experience like? You know, and we see the cars a few years later and they look as just as good. And some people say, I don't like it because I get that black strip of grease on the edges of the doors. And your response for that is quite simple, right?
Clean it off in winter. That's all they have to do. Clean it off in summer. In winter, leave it alone.
There you go. Just take a soft rag and just wipe that strip off and let
exactly.
it sweat.
And the cars will live as long as me.
And just before we go to news, Barry, tell me something, because the question that I do get a lot on the show is, well, he's expensive. How often do I have to go every year? Do I have to go every...
That's what we'd have to understand. If the job is properly done with grease without drilling holes, you don't have to come back for 2.5 to 3 years, because that grease never goes away. The only enemy grease has is dust.
Ah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So I come back in a couple of years and you guys look around and you do a touch-up, or what is that?
Yeah, that's right. Do a touch-up. You don't go to the big job anymore.
We are
not that dishonest to take people's money for nothing.
Barry, as always, love you. Glad to hear you're alive and trucking along.
Right.
So I just want to say thank you so much for calling in the CJD Car Show this morning. And you take care. All the best to you and Rock over at Barry Dan Rust Proof Inn. Thank you again. It's just about 10:30 CJD time, and it's time to head over for a CTV News update with Don Kagan Fleming.
You're listening to The Car Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
10:37 CJAD time. Time for the second half of your Saturday morning car show with me, Lisa Christensen, here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800 AM. I'm a licensed automotive technician, master certified AAC, talking about your car, fixing them up like we do every week here on the CJD Car Show. I had a fun discussion with a colleague who may be listening so I can pick on him, David. David has a little Ioniq vehicle. It's beautiful. Don't get me wrong. Full electric. It's gorgeous. I mean, love it. Brand new. brought it in for a computer update. Car didn't start after. Cars now started and wanted to pick it up and was told by the manufacturer wanted to keep the car a little longer. And he had a terrible time. But what was really funny about the story is that he called 5 times to try and get answers from the place the vehicle was. And he kept getting the dance around, no callback. So he found on his app that he could activate the horn. So he says, okay, nobody's calling me back. So I wonder if I can get somebody's attention. So he hits the horn button. 5 minutes later, he's got a call back. I thought it was a funny story because I can just imagine me being in the shop and the car is like the next bay over. And then the horn starts going off. And everybody's running around saying, why is the horn going off? What's going on? And then realizing that it's probably the owner that's got the horn going. So that was, but he got answers. That's at the end of the day. That's what happened. So good on you, David. I still take my hybrid. I want to have control on my vehicle. There's just too much snooping around under the hood nowadays. 514-790-0800. The lines are open for you this morning here on the CJD Car Show. Let's talk about your car. And that's what we're going to do because Glenn has been waiting very patiently. We weren't expecting Barry to end the call. So Glenn, I appreciate your patience. You wanted to talk about a 2008 Toyota Yaris?
Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
I have a 2008 Yaris and I have no problems with it at all.
Oh, good.
But I've been looking around for a new car. I like to keep my cars for a long time, and I've been looking at CVT transmissions versus automatic. It's hard to find a car these days with a manual transmission, and I'm wondering if I want to get a car for longevity, do you think I should go with something like a Mazda automatic transmission or a Corolla CVT?
Well, here's the thing. The CVT, the continuously variable transmission, it works very similar to the automatic transmission, but without any gears, right? Instead of gears, a CVT has like 2 pulleys that are attached to the wheels and the engine, so to speak. These pulleys, you know, they're connected by a belt, which changes the distance between them, and that's how you get the constant variable. It can provide like a smoother experience when you're driving compared to the automatic transmission. The advantages are like they're more fuel efficient, but disadvantages are is that we do get a lot of people that complain about, they don't shift well because you have a mentality of how you shift already. A regular automatic transmission, I mean, look, it's Quebec. Let's be honest. We are, you know, come to the stop sign, check for a cop, take off, right? We don't say that's the right way of doing it, but we know that people do a lot of jackrabbit starting and stopping. CVTs don't like that. So if you're a calm driver, if you're a person that takes your time, you know, to make a full stop, accelerate off the stop sign, I mean, like basically follow the rules of the roads, you know, one CVT is more problematic than another. So it really does depend on the vehicle. It really does depend on the vehicle and the driver. And sometimes it's just the driver that we have to worry about when it comes to CVT. So it's a very difficult question to answer. I can give you just that information to start with. If you decide that, you know, you want to go from this vehicle to this vehicle and reliability, then I usually have a specialist come in to talk about new cars. Because for me, I fix the cars. I don't really go shopping for them. How's that?
Okay. Do you have any tips for, like you said,
longevity?
Not to jackrabbit start?
Really?
Any tips on driving a CVT that would make it last? Like,
It's pay attention to your maintenance. Really, it's all about paying attention to your maintenance on your vehicle, and it's a question of understanding. I mean, I'm sure you could Google 10,000 articles on CVT drivers and things like that on just basically how to. It's something that's missing. I mean, let's be honest. We're so on a rat race, on a treadmill. We're driving aggressively. I mean, I just go out there on the road. I find people drive really aggressively, and CVTs don't like that. CVTs do not like aggressive drivers. So what we want to do is, okay, I need to get from point A to point B during rush hour. How can I do that as calmly as possible? Well, maybe it's leaving 5 minutes earlier. Maybe it's taking a different route. It really is going to come down to the person. I'm trying. I always say I'm a recovering road rager. I get really uptight when I see someone cut me off or crossing the solid lines on the highways drive me crazy. So what happens? You drive more aggressively. You get angry, you drive. And CVTs don't like that. So we need to take a deep breath. We need to make those proper stops, check both ways, accelerate. Without the person behind you running up your bumper saying, why are you taking so long? We have to be able to go over that and say, well, I'm sorry, if you don't like the way I'm driving, take another road. I'm driving the speed limit. I'm following the rules of the road. It's really hard to do, but it's a mentality we're going to have to do. And besides, more and more municipalities are 30 kilometers in the neighborhoods, 40 kilometers on the arterial roads. I mean, you've got stretches of Ayanbarasa right now, 60, 70, 70, 60. It's the same road. And these are all going to be changing. The city of Montreal in general has been changing. Speed limits are going lower and lower and lower, which could be a good thing for your CVT and for driving in general. So that's about all I can really give you on that CVT.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. So figure out get two cars that you're really interested in, and then we'll go from there.
Okay.
Good luck then. Thank you so much for waiting, Glenn.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Yeah. I like to have a person that does buying cars, selling cars, comparing apples and oranges, or comparing different types of apples together. Because when you're looking at your car, or you're looking at purchasing your next vehicle, it's very personal. I mean, I'm going to put a pair of shoes on you might not like. You're going to put a pair of shoes on I might not like. So I can tell you under the hood, this is what we see with the type of vehicle. But at the end of the day, you have to drive the vehicle. You have to do your type of homework you want to do with that vehicle. What am I doing? Why do I want that car? What's the purpose? Is it because I just love the look of it? Or what's the functionality for me, my driving, my family? What are my needs when I'm looking at a car? I think that is something that people seem to forget a lot of time. Why do you want a car? What are your needs for the car? Do you need the biggest car, or can you get the intermediary car? Do you need the intermediate car, or can you get the small size car? You have to know your needs before you go shopping for a vehicle, and you have to be prepared to walk away, which is really difficult. People get that bug, you get crazy, you want the car, and you forget many important steps in between. Having the car properly inspected by an inspector, so critical when buying a car. So critical, can't say it enough.
Now the car show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
10:51 CJD time. Time to talk to our next caller this morning here on the CJD Car Show. That could be you if you give me a call at 514-790-0800. Let's go back to those lines now and speak to Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. What kind of car do you have?
I have a Subaru STI, WRX STI, 2011.
So, wait a minute, STI. That's like...
That's the Subaru WRX 300.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
But it's not the hatchback. It's the sedan.
Okay.
And I got a noise in the back, which is the shocks in the back that I have to presumably change.
Yes.
And I was wondering your opinion. Now, we're off guarantee. We're off whatever.
Yep.
And I just wanted your opinion. Do I have to do like an alignment once you change the shocks? Like, what does it entail?
Well, first of all, have you had any pricing and product? Like
nothing
off
yet.
Nothing yet. Okay. Because what do you like? What's your intention with the car? I mean, do you drive it? Are you like the Sunday driver? Are you taking it to work every day? Do you enjoy like a little bit of like sportiness to the car? Because shocks go.
I sometimes go to the iCar and Mirabelle. I'm a very responsible driver. I mean,
No. It's just because, again, it's. A lot of cars are coming what we call sport suspensions. Some people buy the car not realizing it, don't like the ride and want to change the ride when it comes time to do the shocks and the coils and the front end and that. So I'm just trying to get an idea of where you are in that situation, because I got to be honest with you, I went and replaced 4 shocks as a maintenance, age of the car type thing.
Mm-hmm.
I went with KYBs because I've always done KYBs. And I'm extremely dissatisfied with my KYBs on my Toyota Prius.
Uh-huh.
And I've been working with the salespeople and the suppliers, because all 4 of my KYBs at minus 20 froze. These are gas shocks. How does that happen? But I thought the shocks were going through the car when I drove at 30 kilometers. They were so bad. I got an issue with coil springs, the shaping of them. I've got, you know what? I'm very disappointed in my KYB. So I'm not going to refer you to KYB for just strictly that purpose, because right now I'm at a point where I'm not sure if I'm going to keep with that because I'm so dissatisfied. That being said, there are many different shock absorbers for you out there that are more tuned to the type of driving. So I would suggest you speak with a suspension guy, because in your case, I think it's worthwhile for you to do that. And I've been recommending Garbus. They're in Laval. They're fantastic. And I think they know who I am now for me, because I never went into the doors themselves. I've just referred so many people from other places I worked, customers to them, for many different technical, difficult issues to align and to work on. And they've done a great job every single time. I think they just found out who I was recently, because they said, who is this person who keeps sending us business? Because I think people that do a good job deserve to be told about, I think. And it doesn't have to do with advertising and sponsorship, blah, blah. You do a good job, why not tell people that you do a good job? So they do a good job. So I would suggest you can look them up, alingmagarbus.com. But I know they're on Jelena Street in Laval, and I do have the phone number if you want it.
That's okay. I'll look it up.
Thank look you. Them up and look at their website. They specialize. I mean, they're an alignment specialist, but it's a father-son, and the son has gone more into the sportiness with the wheels and that. But when it comes to a designing a suspension, they're really good at what they do.
So, and once that's done, do you still have to do like the alignments? And
well, he will look and nature? He'll tell you. And because if you're doing the front, then you're going to have to, depending on what you're changing. If you're changing a shock or changing a shock and coil, you're changing an assembly. It all depends on what's going on with the front end, because they may find something that's loose now. And because they're doing this job, they may say, well, I'm 50% of the way there in labor. Do you want to do it now? And then you might need the alignment. Mm-hmm. When was the last time you had an alignment?
2 years ago.
Okay, and you drive in Montreal.
You could
definitely be due for an alignment if you drive in Montreal. but they put it on the machine afterwards. They'll look at what you need as far as suspension goes.
Perfect.
They'll design the suspension with you based on your needs, and then from there they'll tell you if you need the alignment too, or because it's been 2 years, they may suggest you do it anyway. And they'll put the heads on, and you'll see the dynamic of what it looks like, and then they'll tell you what they have to actually adjust.
Excellent.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much for the call. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Sometimes it's nice to be able to say, hey, you know what? You fix this, go with that. Or you change this and go with that. But you know what? Cars are becoming so much more personal now. Here's an excellent case. You know, someone say, what's a sport suspension? Well, you know what? You get a much stronger, harder suspension on a car. And also with the wheels you put on a car, you can change so much the dynamics of a vehicle. It really is on the driver. What is your intentions with the car? Do you enjoy just, you know, you're on the highway a lot and you like to feel the road, or do you like to just have comfort? We used to say the old Cadillac. You know, an old Caprice, an old, you know, Chevrolet Impala. You could get into them because it's a sloppy, soft suspension. You could fall asleep and wake up in Florida because you didn't feel the road. Well, there are a lot of drivers that want to feel the road. They want to feel that contact. And that with low-rolling resistance tires, or with wide tires on some of the sports cars. You know, an Audi, a BMW, you get some of the Hondas that got a wide tire. I mean, you got tires out there now with 22-inch tires. You have more surface you're contacting on the road, and you're going to have more feeling to the road. So when you talk about a suspension, some of these shock absorbers are very hard shock absorbers. You know, some of them are very soft to give you that floating, relaxed feeling at the wheel of the car. Depends on the car. Depends on the car company. You should know what you're getting into before you purchase a car, because again, the cost of wheels, the cost of suspension, these are maintenance items that you will have to replace over the life of the car. Unless you're that person that is changing the car every 3 years, you know, you're a person that drives whatever you want to drive, because you know every 3 years you're changing the car. If you didn't like that car, you change to a different brand of car. That's one person. Then there's the rest of us out there that buy those cars and live with those cars afterwards, and you have to know, what are you getting into? And don't forget, those shifters, when you put it into drive, what's that, a plus? What's that, a minus? What kind of, like what? Well, you have to know what you are dealing with, because if you've bought a car that's old and then no one's ever touched that plus minus, and all of a sudden you shove it into one of those plus minuses and it's rusted through and you get stuck, yikes. Yikes. So just be cautious, because I know that people are really anxious now. We're calling it post-pandemic. People are looking at the prices of cars. We're looking at, you know, the microchip industry. Is it going to be straightened out, yes or no? And new cars, what's the availability? We get that excitement with spring to upgrade our ride, maybe to trade in, trade up, and or maybe get someone in the family a car. Look at all of these things before you make that purchase, because at the end of the day, you hand down an Audi to your kid, you're going to pay the repairs on that. You hand down an older Chevrolet that's in less running great condition, you still got to maintain it. So you have to look at costs, and you have to look at parts availability, and you have to look at, you know, basic maintenance. Speak to your garage person. Over the life of the car, what do I expect to change? And what are the costs of these parts? Because you got to factor that in when you look at owning a car, maintaining a car, because a car is a losing proposition. The minute you get behind the wheel, you lose 30%. So think about that, and we'll think about being here next week, right? Because here on the CJD Car Show, thanks to Jimmy G and Master Control, pushing all the buttons, keeping me on the road. My name is Lisa Christensen. I'll be back next week with more of your cars and all of their problems. Drive safely, Montreal.